This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a beautiful day it is to be gathered in the Spirit of Christ for this time of worship together. It's my joy to welcome you to this time, whether you're joining us over live stream or here in the sanctuary. I hope you feel welcome in this place, and it's my joy to welcome you, especially if you're visiting with us this morning. And if you are visiting with us, we would invite you to visit the welcome desk in Reed Hall. We have a little present for you there, and would love to make that connection and begin to get to know you a little bit. I would invite everyone to take a moment to register your attendance. If you're here in the sanctuary, there's a registration pad that should be going down the row. And if you're visiting with us and perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, we'd love for you to share a mailing address, email address, phone number with us, and allow us to reach out to you and begin telling you a little bit about how God is working in this congregation. A few other announcements as we gather this morning. This afternoon at 2 o'clock, we will be gathering at Gordon Memorial United Methodist Church, just about a mile and a half up the road there, for a community service of worship and thanksgiving, celebrating the beloved community. And it promises to be a wonderful service with several of us congregations together. We'd love to have a good group from West End in attendance there. Next Sunday, November 26th, a word to our youth. The youth gathering on that Sunday night will be a bonfire at the Barnes Creekmore home. You're invited to bring camp chairs, friends, and your parents. And for that address, you can email Emily Robbins to find out more details. And finally, we're coming up on the season of Advent. It begins on December 3rd, and we kick off that season together with a wreath-making workshop, and that will be on Sunday, December 3rd at 4 o'clock. And you don't have to RSVP. Just come and make your Advent wreath to carry you through the season as we do that, make that journey together. Speaking of journeys, we have been on a journey as a congregation reading through the Bible together. We started in January with the book of Genesis, and today we reach Revelation. And we look forward to experiencing this wild and wonderful vision that John of Patmos saw. And I hope that you are open-hearted to receive what it might have for us today. So let us worship together this day.
Oh, Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Everlasting God, you have revealed yourself to your saints throughout history. Your light has shined, and they have shared that revelation with us. May we be attentive to their words and seek to be changed by them. You also make yourself known to each of us today in ways that celebrate your creative work. May our hearts be as moldable as clay as we join together in worship. As we lift up word, song, and prayers, may we become more like you. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. God of the past, present, and future, today we acknowledge our limited understanding of your world. We recognize where we have failed to trust you as the author and sustainer of all life. Forgive us for giving into the temptation of self-reliance and not recognizing the grace you offer us daily. Help us to recognize the gift that is you, a gift freely given that offers us life to the fullest. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Lori and Matt Reed bring their son before God and before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, you can come up here. Through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Laurie and Matt, I ask you now as you bring your child for baptism today these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say we do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say we do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say we will. My friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. With a community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in service with others, we will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations.
Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. You want to come see me? Hi. And what name have you given your son?
Arthur Cullen Reed.
Arthur Cullen Reed. Arthur Cullen, I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ the Redeemer who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who lives within you and will be your comforter and advocate all the days of your life. Amen. And now, Cullen, we're going to go a little closer to Mom and Dad and ask them to place a hand on you along with Pastor Shannon, and we're going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Arthur Cullen, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Cullen, would you like to take a little walk with me and get to meet your church family just a little bit closer? Or is Shannon more interesting? Yeah, he is pretty interesting. But we're going to go this way. You are listening so attentively. You set a good example for everybody. Yeah, look at this. These are some beautiful people out here. And they are your church family. And in just a second, they're going to make a promise to love you and help you grow up in the faith. They're going to teach you about the Bible and teach you songs to sing about God and teach you what it means to follow Jesus in your life. They're going to help you know that you are unconditionally loved by God. One of them may be your confirmation mentor. There'll be some Sunday school teachers. All sorts of ways they're going to help show you how much God loves you. So let's listen together as they make that promise to you.
Will the congregation please open your bulletins to the welcome? Stand and face Arthur Cullen. It is now our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Arthur Cullen to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given to you, Arthur Cullen, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
I will stand by. Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Our lesson is from the New Testament, Revelations chapter 1, verses 9 through 19. I, John, your brother, who share with you in Jesus the persecution and the kingdom and the patient endurance, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and because of the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Then I turned to see whose voice it was that spoke to me, and I, on turning, saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, I saw one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe, a golden sash across his chest. His head and hair were white as white wool, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined as in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp, two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining with full force. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and see, I am alive forever and ever. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. Now, write what you have seen, what is, and what is to take place after this. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children who are here in the sanctuary to come up and join me up here. And if you're worshiping online, just get a little closer to your screens, and we'll have a moment together. Good morning. Hello, hello. Good to see you this morning, Grace. Oh, we've got a pink rabbit. Very cool. Welcome, welcome. Well, when I was about your age, there was a song that I learned at church, and I'm wondering if you know this song. He's got the whole world. Do you know this song? Do y'all know this song?
Yes.
All right, everybody who knows this song, no matter your age, let's sing it together, okay? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Oh, that sounded beautiful, everyone. That's a song about how God has everything in God's loving arms. All of us, all of creation, all the planets and stars, the whole universe is hugged by God. Now, these verses that we just heard from the very last book of the Bible have a dream, like a vision that somebody had of Jesus after he'd been raised from the dead, and he stretches out his arms and says, I am the first and the last. He says, we would say it this way, I am from A to Z, the whole alphabet. I hold all the world in my loving hands. And to me, that's a comforting image, because sometimes life can be hard. Sometimes difficult things happen to us. We get sad. But remembering that Jesus holds all of us in a big hug all the time gives me lots of comfort. So next time you're feeling sad or something kind of goes wrong and makes you unhappy, sing that little song in your mind and remember, God is with us. We are never alone. Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you so much for loving us, for songs that we learn in church that remind us that you've got the whole world in your hands and nothing that ever happens to us will take us away from your love. We love you too, God. And we thank you as we get ready for Thanksgiving. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go with Pastor Maggie and Miss Emily to Children's Church. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with parents or friends. So it was a little bit of a challenge to think about how to talk about Revelation with the children. But I love that image of Jesus that we have in this first chapter of Revelation. It just reminded me of that song I learned as a child. But there's no way around it. Revelation is a challenging book. I have a friend who is a professor of religion at the college level, and she's teaching a New Testament survey class this year. And she said, you know, we have to get through the whole New Testament, and I'm so glad that Revelation is last, because darn the luck, we run out of time, and we just don't get to dive in that deep to Revelation. I don't know about you, but I think many of us have a very limited relationship with the book of Revelation. When we think of Revelation, we think about all of those predictions that the world's going to come to an end. We know that people have used this book over the centuries to predict the end of the world. It's even been used to inspire fear in people. There's a lot of talk of violence and vengeance in the book of Revelation. It's like, you better be on the right side when the last day comes or you're going to get it. And so for those reasons that in some ways make feel inconsistent with our understanding of who God is and how God's grace and love have been revealed to us in the life and teachings, death and resurrection of Jesus, we just set it aside. We just rather not deal with Revelation. I am guilty of that as a preacher. It's not a text that I preach on very often. And so we begin to wonder about this little strange book at the end of the Bible, if it's even for us. I mean, there were early Christians when they were having conversations about which books to include in the scriptures, whether to include Revelation or not. There were many who said, no, that doesn't need to be in our Bible. But there were many who wanted it there. And it has been included, and it's been passed down to us from generation to generation. And so we read it, and we consider what it might have to say to us in the 21st century, in our context, in our moment of history. Anything? One of the things that has helped me have a better relationship with this very strange book is to learn more about the kind of writing it was and who it was written to and in what moment of history and why it might have been written. So let me hit some of those bullet points for us. The book of Revelation is a kind of literature called apocalypse. It's apocalyptic writing. We see a little bit of that in the book of Daniel, a little bit in a couple of the Gospels. There are a lot of apocalyptic writings in the Jewish tradition right around this same time. It's very imaginative, vivid imagery. Much of it is coded language. And what it's meant to be is not a prediction of the future, not an outline of what things are going to happen when the end times come, but it's meant to speak truth into a particular moment in history. So in this moment in history, what's happening? Imagine that it's the first century, early second century, and you are a Christian living under the thumb of the Roman Empire. It is not safe to be a Christian in the empire. You remember that back in 70 CE, the Roman Empire came into Jerusalem and decimated the city and tore down the temple because there had been a small Jewish rebellion there. When the temple was torn down, it's never been rebuilt since, by the way. It was the end of a way of life for the Jewish people, and therefore for many of the Christian people who had come from the Jewish tradition. From their perspective, it felt like the world had ended. Many of the Jews had been taken into exile into Rome and enslaved. This was a dark time for the Jews and for the early Christians. And it's hard to imagine how to survive and how to have hope and how to keep the faith when you're living under the threat of the Roman army all day, every day. And so John, somebody named John, we don't know exactly who he was, writes from the island of Patmos, probably a place where he himself was being punished for being a follower of Jesus. And he has had a dream, a vision of the risen Christ, and it's full of this imagery and all of this seven lampstands and the four horsemen of the apocalypse and Babylon. But when he was writing about Babylon, he was talking about Rome. He was trying to send a message to those early believers that the Roman Empire, in the vastness of who God is all throughout history, is nothing. The Roman Empire will fall. They'll get it in the end. On Sunday night when we were in Bible study, Dr. Jen Quigley described it as a violent vengeance fantasy. This is a fantasy to give the people hope that Rome will fall. Now, we know what that's like. You go to the movies, you see a superhero movie, when the bad guys get it in the end, and we all go, yay! When Darth Vader takes Emperor Palpatine and throws him down the shaft, yay! When Harry Potter backfires the spell onto Voldemort and he flakes away, yay! The bad guys lose. Perhaps that's part of what's going on in the book of Revelation, giving this small persecuted group some hope and a vision that one day their suffering will end, to remind them that God is still in charge and the risen Christ is the Alpha and Omega who holds all of them. So it's a particular kind of writing to a particular people at a particular moment in history. So is it even for us? Is this a book that can speak to us and to our lives with all of its coded language and imagery that many of us don't understand anymore? Well, of course, I believe it can speak to us, or I wouldn't be up here today. It has been included in our sacred texts. And so I believe the Spirit, the living Christ, can speak to us through these ancient words and images. And when I see this image, this vision that John of Patmos had, that is one artist has portrayed on the cover of our bulletin, we see the risen Christ telling John of Patmos, I am the first and the last. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It is a reminder to us in our times that God's got the whole world in God's hands. Our experiences may be different, but I think many of us have had that feeling at some point in our lives that the world feels like it's coming to an end. Sometimes we feel it personally with the death of a loved one. Or we get that phone call from the doctor that says the test results are back and I need you to come into the office. Or we go to work one day only to find our desk has been cleared and there's been a reorganization and we're invited not to come back. Or a person we love comes and tells us they don't love us anymore. Sometimes the world feels like it's coming to an end. Sometimes it feels that way for us collectively. A global pandemic? Heavens. For the world to turn on a dime and we're all in our homes and we all have to wear masks and the sanctuary is empty, it felt like the world was coming to an end. Or we hear the stories coming out of Israel and Gaza and Ukraine and the climate disasters and all of the things happening around us, and it feels like these must be the end times. Have you ever felt that or said that? It feels like the world is coming to an end. Well, maybe we can hold on to this vision that was given to John of Patmos of the risen Christ, the cosmic Christ, the universal Christ, as Richard Rohr would say, giving the assurance to this one man on the island of Patmos, I've got this. A reminder that we are all the time being held. It doesn't mean that God is moving us all around like puzzle pieces, manipulating everything that happens, but it does mean that no matter what happens, God is with us as we affirm in our faith every week. We are not alone. We are always swimming in a sea of love. And God is closer to us than our next breath, no matter what's happening in our lives. And then there's this beautiful moment where John falls on his knees in front of this bright, shining vision. And he's afraid, I think. He's in awe. He doesn't know what to say or do. And then he feels Christ place a hand on him and say, "Do not be afraid." How many times have we heard that throughout the scriptures on this journey we've been on since January? Do not be afraid. It is so easy in our time, whatever's happening in our lives, to be anxious and afraid for what the future holds. But here we have Christ saying to John and saying to us, do not be afraid. God has us. So what do we do? Does this call us then to be passive and just to say, well, no matter what's happened in the world, God's got it, so I'm just going to sit back and wait? No. Jesus makes it very clear in his life and his teachings, we're supposed to keep awake. We're supposed to trust and believe that God is always at work in the world, bringing about the beloved community, bringing about reconciliation and justice and hope and healing. And we're invited to be part of that. Christ told John of Patmos, write this down. Tell the churches. There's a part for him to play, and there's a part for us to play too. So the invitation that comes to us from this ancient, strange, wild, and wonderful ride of a text is to keep the faith. Keep doing what we've been told to do throughout the scriptures. And what does the Lord require of you? Asked the prophet Micah. But to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. What is the greatest commandment, they asked Jesus? To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We may not know all the answers to all the mysteries in the book of Revelation or in the whole of the scriptures, but I believe we know enough to live out our lives in faith and to know that no matter what happens, God is with us. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite you to stand as we respond to God's word through our affirmation of faith found in your bulletin or on page 883 in your hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you please be seated? As we come to our time of prayer, I want to invite you to lift up your prayers, both silent and spoken. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to be prayed for throughout the week, there are pew cards, gray cards in the racks in front of you. And if you're joining us online, you can click on the Contact Us link on our website and send those to us. Please take note of the prayer requests listed in your bulletin and keep them and the names in your, keep the names and the situations in your heart, praying for the realization of God's presence in each situation. We do want to extend our sympathies to the family of Clay Ferguson in the death of Clay's partner and our church member, Keith McCabe, on November 11th. A service of remembrance will take place at a later date. And then we also want to lift up Daryl Watson and family after the passing of Daryl's father yesterday. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. To you, Jesus, I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Lord, today we recognize who you are. You are the creator and sustainer, the author of all life, and the one who brings restoration and wholeness to all of your creation. We give thanks for your never-ending grace that offers yourself to us as the source of a full life that goes on into eternity. We acknowledge our limited sight and understanding, but we recognize that you seek to pour your whole self into us. Your desire is that we be continually formed into your likeness, living an eternity of experiencing your glory in this world and in the world to come. And as we gather today, our hearts are warmed by your presence and our lives are changed forever. May all that we offer in worship to you draw us closer to you and cause your light to shine all the brighter through our lives. May those around us see a glimpse of your love and mercy as we interact with them. May they be drawn to you in a way that opens their eyes to your acceptance and love of who they are. And as we thank you today, Lord, we desire to offer all of ourselves to you. We trust you today. As we open our hearts to you by sharing in word and in silence the parts of our lives that keep us awake at night and cause us to question, as well as those things that help us to sleep soundly. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us today and every day, for always being attentive to us, for wooing us to you and allowing us to release the grip we have on our life that we're holding with tiring, sore hands. We seek to trust in your grace today. And it's with that trust that we now pray in unity the words you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather together our gifts and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online can give via the options listed on the screen, while here in the sanctuary we'll pass plates down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous to us. Please be seated. As we welcomed one into our family through baptism this morning, we also welcome into membership two wonderful people. We'll be welcoming three more in our later service today. But it is such a joy when our family expands, and that's one of the things that I've been excited to see over the last few months, how much our family has expanded. And so I want to introduce and invite up Daniel and Madeline Frankamont to us. Daniel and Madeline are transplants to Nashville from Tampa, Florida, where they are members at Hyde Park United Methodist Church. Daniel is in the music business, and Madeline is as an occupational therapist. They love the outdoors, are proud puppy parents, and will be proud human parents in February. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. We are so thankful for what God has already done in your life, and we are thankful for what God will continue to do in your life here, both through us and in us, as we see God working and moving. Would you all please rise in body or in spirit and join me in welcoming our newest members? Family of God, Daniel and Madeline are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I want to invite each of you to join us in Reed Hall afterwards. We do have donuts today, but not for the donuts. Come to Reed Hall to meet Daniel and Madeline and welcome them into our family. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
us go from this place into a week of gratitude and thanksgiving, knowing that whatever happens, God's got you, and God's got us. And with that assurance, let us go forth to be God's people. Amen.